The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Wednesday, June the 9th. I'm Jim Burris, and this is The Brief from WABE. Former Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed has filed paperwork to launch a third bid for City Hall. As WABE's Emma Hurt reports, this comes after current Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms decided last month not to run for re-election.
According to a filing with the state, Reed created a committee called Kasim Reed for Atlanta for the 2021 election. Reed served two terms as mayor and endorsed Bottoms, his successor, 4 years ago. But his legacy has been mired by an ongoing federal corruption investigation that has implicated people including his former chief procurement officer and former deputy chief of staff. Reed has maintained his innocence. He joins a field of mayoral candidates that include City Council President Felicia Moore, City Council members Andre Dickens and Antonio Brown, and Atlanta Attorney Sharon Gay. The election will be on November 2nd. Emma Hurt, WABE News.
As more Atlanta businesses start to welcome back customers in person, what will be the city's role in the economic recovery? Former Mayor Reed did not take part, but five other candidates for mayor tackled that question last night at the gathering spot. WABE's Emil Moffitt has more.
In a sign that things are returning to normal, the candidates sat fairly close to one another at a long table in front of a small audience. The Committee for a Better Atlanta, a business coalition, brought five announced candidates together in person for the first time. Current City Council President Felicia Moore says federal recovery dollars can be a lifeline for Atlanta businesses.
We find ways, particularly with some of the federal funding we're having, to really get and help those most vulnerable, those that were hit hardest through the pandemic.
Antonio Brown says he wants to continue the work he's been doing on City Council to make sure entrepreneurs can thrive.
We have to continue to pull funds so that we can build programs for startup small businesses in this city and ensure that no business is left behind.
Attorney Sharon Gay said she'd follow in the footsteps of former Mayor Shirley Franklin and establish a strong bond between businesses and the city.
Invite the business community and our business and civic leadership to be a part of the city government, to be part of the solutions, to be part of recruiting terrific talent to work in city government.
City Councilman Andre Dickens says inequality should be top of mind for any discussion of recovery.
The southeast and southwest sides of our city needs to have job centers, grocery stores, amenities. This is how we overcome this generational wealth gap that we have.
Another way to spur the economy that saw some progress at the Georgia Capitol this year was the potential of expanded gambling in the state. Candidate Walter Reeves, a self-described legal scholar and blue-collar worker, says that's not the type of growth he wants.
We definitely do not need in Atlanta, Georgia, is a gambling interest. It's not welcome here. It's very sleazy. It corrupts blue-collar people.
The candidates all said they want to fight the crime rate in the city and see more transparency in government. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
At the Georgia Republican Convention over the weekend, Governor Brian Kemp faced both boos and cheers from the crowd. After refusing to overturn the 2020 election, he was attacked by former President Donald Trump. And since then, some of Trump's supporters have continued to criticize Kemp. The Republican governor spoke with WABE's Emma Hurt about the convention and his newly launched reelection campaign.
Well, I think for people that actually were at the convention and saw how hard we worked that event and how well received I was, there are people I haven't had a chance to get in front of. We did a lot of that at the convention, which is why I went. To continue to tell people, you know, my side of the story, what the truth is, and explain a lot of different things that I've gotten a lot of questions on, and that went very well. I mean, I worked that crowd for 5 hours. you know, the 10 minutes that I was speaking on the convention hall floor dealing with an orchestrated chorus of boos from political operatives and other folks, I think is not a reflection of where the broad base of the party is. And I thought it went as good as it could go.
Did you have any confrontations of any sort with people who were maybe still unconvinced and you had to convince them?
Oh, sure. I mean, we definitely had people that had questions about this, that, and other, but it gave me an opportunity to push back on some of the lies they've been told, quite honestly, and some of the things that they see floating around. And I think a lot of people think I have a lot more authority over elections than I actually do. I know that better than anybody because I was head of elections for 9 years and dealt with a lot of these type issues. And a lot of the folks, especially the newer ones to the convention, you know, they just don't understand that. They're seeing a biased opinion or political narrative on, you know, some website or some email they're getting. So it was refreshing in a lot of ways to be able to talk to people about that. And I think we won a lot of people over, just like I've been doing when I've spoken to other party events. You know, I think they appreciated that, quite honestly, that I was willing to show up when others wouldn't.
President Trump, as you know, has vowed to campaign against you in the past multiple times. I'm curious how you are feeling right now about that, whether he'll follow through on that promise.
Well, I've said this many times. I probably told you this before, Emma. I can't control what other people are doing in politics. I learned that a long time ago. I'm staying focused on what I need to be doing, obviously serving as the governor in the greatest state in the country. We have so much ahead of us. I'm very optimistic about where we are. I'm so proud of our state and our people for being so resilient in regards to COVID. And, you know, I think Republicans, if they learned any lesson in the last election, is we need to tell Georgians what we're for. You know, remind them of what we've done, but tell them what we stand for and where we want to go. And that's very different from where the Democrats want to take us in today's politics.
Are there changes to your campaign strategy this time around that you're starting to implement?
Well, it's definitely a different race than it was in 2018 when, you know, I was a big underdog, quite honestly. I don't think a lot of people took my candidacy seriously. I had a really crowded, hard-fought Republican primary with a lot of good candidates, had a very tough runoff, and then you go into general election against a well-funded Democrat that did not have a very hard campaign, did not have a runoff, and was able to define me before I could define myself. And my record has defined myself now. I think Georgians know that, you know, I'm a governor for all the people. As I said when I in my inauguration speech, I said that, you know, even if you didn't vote for me, I'm going to be your governor and I'm going to work hard for you. And that's what I've been doing. And I think that message, in conjunction with the different kind of race that we'll run going into 2020, making sure that people know what that record is, but also know what we stand for and not getting defined early again, will make a big difference.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp speaking there with WABE's Emma Hertz, and you can hear more from that interview on our website at wabe.org. The CEO of Georgia-based Colonial Pipeline says the $4.4 million the company paid hackers for a decryption key helped. But Joseph Blount says it was not actually necessary to get the pipeline back up and running. Blount testified in the second day of congressional hearings today over last month's ransomware attack, this time in front of the House Homeland Security Committee.
There was the potential that we would have to rebuild the entire system, which could have taken us a lot longer than bringing the pipeline back on. Critical, dire consequences could have come out of that. I availed myself of an option that in hindsight we didn't necessarily need, but we wouldn't have known it for days.
Blount says when he decided to pay the ransom, the company did not know the extent of the damage. While he says it was advantageous to have the decryption key, it was no silver bullet, as Colonial is still working to get all of its operations back online. The federal government opposes ransom payments to hackers. The Hawks will return to Atlanta for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinals on Friday after splitting the first two games with the 76ers. The Hawks lost 118-102 yesterday, mostly behind the late-game performance of Sixers guard Malik Benjamin Milton, better known as Shake. Atlanta had an impressive showing from the bench with reserve players DeAndre Hunter and Danilo Gallinari each scoring at least 20 points. but it was barely enough to equal the 40 points of Sixers' Joel Embiid. This is The Brief from WABE. Thanks for listening.
Local support for Marketplace comes from...
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WAB politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WAB politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WAB.org or your favorite podcast platform.